Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Let's study the Word a little bit this evening. How about that? That's always a good thing to do. Hebrews 11, verse 1 reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Everybody say hoped for. Passion Bible says, "Now faith brings our hope into reality." Amplified, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things hoped for." Let's see. Berkeley's translation, "Faith forms solid ground for what is hoped for." I like that. New English, "What is faith?" "Faith gives substance to our hopes." So tonight I want to, because of this being, you know, this is a Wednesday night service and it's kind of a week when a lot of people are on, you know, out with their families. It's Christmas time. But, you know, we don't want to put any less emphasis on the Word of God just because it may be a what we would call a down week. Amen. We don't preach down messages. Amen. We want everything to be something that God speaks to us. So in just thinking, meditating, of course, I'm doing a lot of preparation, getting ready for the weekend coming up for the end of 1 year, beginning of a new year celebration and seeing what God has for us in the coming year. But tonight, I just kept coming in my spirit, what are you expecting? You know, a new year's coming. You know, a lot of times people make a New Year's resolutions. But I don't think there's ever been a year in which we are looking at a year like we're looking at right now. I really don't think there ever has been. There is all kinds of hopes, all kinds of expectancies, and along with that, there's a lot of fear. That's why we've taught on fear for, the last 6 or 7 Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday mornings, we've been teaching on God's love because it's His perfect love that dispels or casts out all fear. Now, let me tell you, in the natural, you got a lot of reason to fear. In the natural, there's a lot going on out there that let me just say this, the potential for a major alteration in your life and lifestyle is pretty high. Yeah. Let me say that again. The potential for a major alteration in our lives and lifestyles is very high. It's very high. And the potential for it happening quickly is even higher. You know, There's people on the earth that think they have an agenda to carry out, you know, I don't know what they think it is, but in reality, it is the agenda of the adversary of God. Well, it's not some secret things, you know, they talk about secret societies. This stuff has been going on since Genesis. Now it's coming to a culmination. It's coming, actually we could say it like this, it's coming to a conclusion. It's coming to a final outcome is being worked of all, you say of what? Of whatever it was that motivated God to create this world and to allow what has transpired upon this planet over the last 6,000 years and what its ultimate purpose is, we don't know yet. We will find out. But for us, it is for our good. You say, what do you mean for us? For people who know God, for people who love God, for people who are in the kingdom of God, it is for our good. Heaven's for our good. The 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus is for our good. All of it's for our good. Yes. God wants it for our good. He wants a healthy, whole family is what He wants. And it's taken Him 6,000 years to get one. Amen? Now He's going to have one. Now, everybody say hope. Everybody has hopes. Now, we've taught a lot on hope when it comes to the subject of faith. And we know that there are two types of faith, just like there are two types of hope. There's human faith, which demands evidence. Then there's spiritual faith. I mean, what did I say, faith or hope? I get them both mixed up. Human faith. Human faith demands evidence. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. If I don't touch it, I don't believe it. If I don't smell it, if I don't hear it, if I don't, you know, you have to have a testimony or evidence in your senses, and that's human faith. Spiritual faith is based on the Word of God. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You can hear great testimonies. You can read inspiring books. But at the end of the day, it's only God's Word. It's only the Scripture. It's only the chapter and verse that becomes real to you. You say, what do you mean becomes real to me? It's that which you have revelation of, that which God reveals to you. Now, let me just say this about revelation, that which God wants to reveal to you. He's not holding anything back. Your level of revelation right now is based on what you desire. You say, I want to know more about God. You'll get it. Everything within me, I want to find out about God. I want to know Jesus. I want to find out about the Holy Ghost. I want to know about the Spirit, how He moves. I want to know about how the Holy Ghost works in me. I want to know about the gifts of the Spirit. I want to know about these things. Listen, you're doing good. You're doing good. You just keep moving that direction. And if you will, then the desires and the hopes that are on the inside of you, you can know they're of God. Now, let's just take this, and this will help you right here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Could you use your faith if you're hoping to steal your neighbor's wife? Amen? No, you couldn't. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Could you use your faith if you were trying to steal your neighbor's fortune? See, there's a lot of people, the reason their faith don't work is their hopes aren't right. I use that as an extreme illustration. I mean, you know, come on, church. Give me a little latitude here, you know. I mean, that is an extreme illustration. But many times we pin our hopes on our desires and not on God-given desires. Where is it? Psalms 34. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the what? The desires, the motivations, and the, actually one translation says the appetites of your heart. What is the appetites of your heart? You should have an appetite for the things of God, appetite for the things of the Spirit. That should be the appetites of your heart. Now, if your hopes are aligned with the will of God for your life, then the Word of God will impart revelation that faith will become the substance of what you've hoped for. That means you'll get it by the Word and the Spirit, then you'll walk that thing out and enjoy it in the natural. Amen? I was talking to somebody. We bought a house. Second house we bought. And I think it was the most profound experience of faith that Lee and I had gone through up until that point in our lives. Leah had worked for 10 years as I traveled and built ministry. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to bless your wife with a house. So we looked at houses. A friend of hers had a beautiful home that we went and looked at, and He was obviously willing to make it easiest for us to get in there. And when I was, and I liked it myself. I thought it was just a spectacular home. And when we were walking out, down the driveway, the Lord said, that's not it. And I told Leah, that's not it. And so, you know, I think it was like a day or two later, I got on an airplane and was gone to Europe for 3 weeks preaching. So I told her, I said, go find your top 10 houses. Go find real estate. Do it from the most expensive to the least expensive. But make sure it's your favorite. And don't be afraid. If it's a lot, you know, remember I told you, whatever you like. So she picked some houses and she had a real estate agent. So the first house we walked into was way over anything we could afford, way over anything we could even dream of. And we walked in that house. I stepped in the foyer. The Holy Ghost said, here's your house. So what are you going to do now? Amen. Well, we went to work. All of a sudden, listen, let me tell you, this will help you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. When the Holy Ghost said to me, this is your house, it birthed hope. Yes. Did you get that?
Yes.
It was a word from God in my spirit, and hope came alive in me, and hope came alive in Leah. So we got into agreement. And it is absolutely amazing, the detailed plan down to the minute, down to the hour, and down to the dime of what God said for us to do. And we ended up buying that house. A total. And I said this before, it is a total miracle of God, but God keeps correcting me. It wasn't a miracle. It was a miracle that someone with no money could buy a house like that. But the process of getting it was not a miracle. It was the process that God has put in the Word of God that works without exception. When He births a hope in you, faith will frame that hope, and your obedience to that faith will cause that to come into your life. Amen? Now, let me read a couple of these notes I was making. our society right now, our society, and when I say society, I'm talking about everything from the news media that we have, the entertainment industry that we have, and I mean all of it, from the films to the music, everything. They're trying to put a hope in you. But it is not a positive hope. Let me say that again. It is not a positive hope. There's nothing in this world system that will put a positive hope in you. Amen? So all of this information, I was looking at some stuff. Let me see if I can find that. Everything that's being transmitted to us, and the volume of it is unbelievable. I remember when I one of the first real, you know, legitimate jobs that I had, in which you actually had a job, joined a union, were paid, you know, a good wage, and had all these benefits and stuff like that, was in the cable TV industry way back in the early 70s here in Galveston. Now, back then, we advertised 12 channels, teleprompter cable TV. On the side of my van, it said, 12 channels, more color. I hooked up a TV. This lady, you know, one of those TVs with a coat hanger on it, and, you know, turned the knob with a pair of pliers. So I hooked the cable up to it. We used to have a little box, and you'd slide it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Remember those, y'all that lived here back then, remember those little brown boxes? And so I hooked it up, and that picture was clear, and I slid across all the channels. And she had to sign a work order for me, you know, saying that I finished the job. So I handed the work order to her. She said, "I'm not signing that." I said, "Well, why not?" She said, "Where's my color at?" I said, "Well, you got a black and white TV." She says, "Your van says True Color." I said, "Call the office." Amen. So all that advertising put a hope in her that was false. Because you can't make a color TV out of a black and white TV. Amen? Now, here's the reality. All of this stuff's coming out. This is incredible. My point was, 12 channels has turned into what? How many? What can you get on your TV now? Mars? I don't know, you know, I mean, it's just crazy how much, and then now you've got your internet, you've got all this other way of communicating, all this information that's flowing. And let me just say this, you know, we tend to be so gullible because we're taught faith and we believe the truth and all this kind of stuff. We think everything's the truth. It's not. Most of it's a lie. Just an absolute lie. So what do lies do? Lies create false hope. And false hope leads to fear. Amen? Because a lot of people, now when I say false hope, it's not like somebody says, "Well, a war is going to break out," and you think, "Well, I hope it does." No, you hope it doesn't. But that's human hope. Because what do? They give you all kinds of information about why this war is going to start, where it's going to start, how it's going to start. All of that erases the expectancy of it not starting. So you go into an expectancy of what? Well, any day they're going to blow it up. Amen. And people are living on that day after day, week after week, month after month, and then you throw everything else in that pile. Politics, medicine, what's the next pandemic, epidemic, you know, all this social insanity? Amen? Digging up old devils we thought were dead years ago and letting them run rampant? Well, that's crazy. And it's creating an expectancy in this world system of doom and gloom. You know why? Because if the devil can get you into negative hope, he can get you to blame someone for it. And if he can get you to blame someone for it, then he can divide you from somebody that might can help you. See, that's the devil's ultimate goal is division. He loves division. He does not like churches that are in unity. He does not like nations that have unity. He does not like companies. He doesn't like unity in families. Has anybody figured that out? Yes. He'll do everything he can do to what? Divide us, and he's trying to divide us on every level. Yes. By putting a what? An expectancy on the inside of us of what? Here's the key. Many of us of what we've experienced in the past of experiencing in the future. So you don't have a new hope. All you do is feed an old one. And what I believe God's doing in us is forming a brand new expectancy on the inside. See, if we go around like the world, expecting the world to come to an end, expecting famine, nuclear war, economic disaster, medical disaster, you know, division from everything you can think of. If you go around thinking on that, meditating upon that, that literally becomes the persona of who you are and how you think. Is there anything more depressing than expecting destruction? There's nothing more depressing than that, than expecting. Did you know that's what the whole world's doing right now? Is expecting destruction. Expecting destruction. I heard a guy talking about the weather. He was talking about the weather, talking about everything going on the border. He had about five different points he was making. Every one of them proved positive that we're not going to make it through 2024. Well, good news. That's real good news, isn't it? Well, that's not good news at all. We're not only going to make it through 24, we're not just going to survive, we'll thrive in the midst of it if we'll walk in what? In true hope, in the helpus of God, in the expectancy of God, because everything you expect is a result of what has been planted in you or what you have allowed to be planted in you. You will bear what you allow to be planted in you. You will bear it. You will carry it, amen, and you will bear it. That's why you've got to be careful. Little ears what you hear. Little eyes what you see. Little feet where you go. Come on, church. Little hands what you do. You say, why? Because a lot of people will live their lives, think they're serving God, doing this and that, and in the meantime, they've planted so much negative seed that when the pressure of life comes, there's no hope in them. There's nothing worse than a hopeless faith person. Let me say this, and then a little rabbit trail. We'll get back over here in a minute. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, is more interested in disturbing your hope than he is in attacking your faith. Now you say, why is that? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have no faith, no hope, you don't need any faith. Amen. Now, the two types of hope, real quick, just as a refresher. Human hope, always mixed with an element of doubt and unbelief. I always used to use the Houston Oilers as an example because I grew up on the Gulf Coast of Texas. I remember the Love You Blue days and how they almost went to the Super Bowl, you know. But, you know, we always, the next year in September, everybody, I hope, we go to the Super Bowl. Amen. Used to be like that to that with the Astros until the Astros won some World Series and we got a little hope back. Amen. But let them go 20, 30 years with no World Series and it'll be back in the same square. Human hope is always mixed with an element of doubt and unbelief. I was thinking about that today. I was meditating on it. I was thinking about that. And I thought about back when we used to be surf fiends, fanatical. You say, what do you mean? We surfed every ripple that ever came across this island for years and years. But we would get a beautiful swell, especially in the wintertime, and the north wind would blow. And as we surfed, you could see it going down. Now, if you live in California, Hawaii, or something like that, you get a swell, it lasts for days and days. Good old Galveston. It lasts for minutes and hours. So I remember many times, Alan could attest to it because he stood next to me many times. We said the same thing. I hope it's up in the morning. And there was always flat. It was always mixed with an element of what? Doubt and unbelief. Now, the word hope that we see in the Bible, the Greek word elpis, literally means an anticipation associated with pleasure. Now, if you think about pleasure or pleasurable things, if you ever think about doing something pleasurable and the anticipation of that, how that's also pleasurable. Amen? But a lot of people do not realize that when spiritual hope forms in them, it's something that God is doing. Let me say this. How many sick people today who do not know God hope they could get healed? All of them. How many poor people hope they could get some money. How many? All of them. That is what? That is a human hope. If I get sick, if the devil attacks me with sickness and disease, I mean, my expectancy is for healing. Because my faith, now, my expectancy would be a lot different than someone else who doesn't know God. They would hope that there was a prescription. They would hope that there was a treatment. They would hope there was a procedure. Come on, church. And then doubt its effectiveness. Because that's what people do. But see, when you hope in God, when God grants you hope, it's because you've been doing something to come to Him. Because when you come to, think about this. Somebody comes to church on Sunday, doesn't know God, doesn't know Him at all, freaked out. Man, we could have a nuclear war tomorrow. Maybe they've been watching all this news the last year. Maybe they've sat in front of their TV for hours at a time. And now they're in a panic. What am I going to do? I mean, is there a hell? Is there a heaven? Is there a God? Is there anything? I'm going to go to church. So they get up and they just drive to the first church. So they walk in here. They have no hope. They have no faith. Amen? They just hope they get here at the right time. Amen. So they come into a service, and it may be a song that's being sung that has the word in it. It could be a confession we make at the offering time that's full of the word, something that is preached. But in the atmosphere of the church, as the Holy Ghost moves and as the word is taught or preached, it's like an aroma. It's like a smell. It's like going to a restaurant and smelling your favorite dish being cooked. Now, all of a sudden, as this individual that knows nothing about God, nothing about eternity, nothing about salvation, as he hears just the name of Jesus, as he hears the Word of God, it begins to do what? Brings a calm. It brings a peace. And all of a sudden, they are granted what? A hope or an expectancy. Maybe I can go to heaven. Maybe I can miss all of this destruction. So at the end of the service, I get up and say, now, is there anybody here that wants to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart, confess with thy mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now he has a platform for faith. Who would like to be saved? Raise your hand. Boom. They've gone from hope to faith. And when they act on the faith, they get out, come up, pray the prayer. Now they're saved. Just that's how all of us got into the kingdom. It started with a hope. It started with a hope. That's why the enemy wants to come after your hope, because the Bible describes it as what? The anchor to your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, which is the way you think, your emotions, which is the way you feel, and your will, which is the choices you make. So if he can disconnect the anchor, your faith just drifts away into doubt and unbelief. But as long as you're anchored, come on, church. And I got good news. The anchor holds. It holds in the storm. It holds when the waves are high. I'm telling you, the anchor holds. If you'll keep in hope and faith, that anchor will hold, and you will constantly be expectant of the miraculous and of the power of God and of the answer to your faith. Amen? So don't let the enemy exchange human hope for your godly hope. Hallelujah. An expectancy of doom and gloom produces fear. The type of fear that torments, the torment is built of the expectancy of what is coming. See, people get up and tell you, you're going to lose your money, you're going to lose your health, you're going to lose your freedom, you're going to lose your identity. I mean, you lose. You know, people are just saying all kinds of crazy stuff like that. People are talking about, we're going to lose because of what's going on the border. We're going to lose because the Democrats are in power, so we're going to lose. But if the Republicans get in power, then we'll really lose. I mean, come on. If you feed on that constantly, you will build into your mind a type of fear that will cause you to constantly expect disaster. And if you ever get into a place in life where you constantly expect disaster, your adversary, the devil, He will oblige you with disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster. Amen. But thank God, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, go back to Psalms. We were in the Psalms there. Yeah, Lord, I'll do that. Go to Proverbs real quick. Go to Proverbs. Let me find it here. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. So when you think about what's coming into your life, what you see in your vision coming down the highway of time into your life. Amen? Let me say this. I'll do that, Lord. I'm going to teach this. I'm going to teach this doubt out of the church, and I'm going to teach this faith into the church. You don't have to get sick and die. Let me say that again. You don't have to get sick and die. Now, you're going to die. I guarantee you're going to die. You live long enough, you'll die. If Jesus takes us up in the rapture, praise God. If not, if you don't stand over me, I'm going to stand over you. Amen? But we do not have to get sick to die. Amen? So even as you gather years, you age, don't expect to get sick and die. Because those that do, do. You say, well, I'm already sick and dying. Well, do something about it. Get your hope fixed. Amen? Get your hope fixed. Get your healing. Get your deliverance. Get what you need. Because that'll torment you right there. Because every birthday that goes by, oh, happy birthday. Yeah, I'm one more year closer to the oxygen tent. Do they use oxygen tents anymore? They don't? You're in medicine. Where's Doc at? No more oxygen tents, huh? Did they even work? Amen. But you know, we don't have to get sick and die. Listen. I like this. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Wow. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Go to, real quick, since you're there. Chapter 13. This is actually a scripture I'm going to look at. Here's a key. Verse 12 of chapter 13, Proverbs. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now, here's the key, church. So many people have tried to operate in faith with a false hope. So many people have tried to operate in faith with a false hope. How do you do that? By taking your own plan, ego, ambition, or desire and try to put faith to it. To try to get God to bless what you want to do. Amen? No, that type of faith, or that type of hope, the Bible says, hope deferred. Now, I've seen people do this. And it blows my mind why they do it. I don't understand it. They'll get something in their head that God's going to bless them some particular way. And it's like a dog with a bone. They won't let go of it. It's got to happen this way. It's going to happen this way. I'm telling you, it's going to happen this way. I watch people literally watch it destroy their faith and have them tell me, I lost all my faith. I had faith and I lost it all. Actually tell me that. And leave the church. And say, we're leaving the church because we lost our faith. Well, that doesn't help me as a preacher or a pastor. Amen? No. If they would listen to me, I could tell them, here's the problem. You are believing God for something He does not want to do. And when it does not happen, it makes your heart sick. And then the longer your heart is sick, the further you get away from God until you don't think God will ever do anything for you because you're stuck on this one thing, hoping God will do something, knowing He won't. Hope deferred. But listen, look at what the next portion of that verse says. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Oh my goodness. I remember when Lee and I moved into that house. We were so happy. We didn't have enough furniture to put in there hardly. I mean, it was just such a joy. And we had major projects we had to do there and all this. And the more we looked around, the more we saw that we needed to do. But we were so happy. We had so much joy. There was so much gladness. Amen? You say, why? Because our hopes were not deferred. Yeah. It came to pass. It came to pass. We know what it feels like to be hopeless. When we were believing God to have a child, we lost that. Our faith and hope and everything went out the window. We had our emotional moment. Then, honey, we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps and we said, here we go again. And I got up in a conference before we ever knew anything about what God was going to do and said, we will have that child in Jesus' name. And we did. Our hope was not deferred. So you got to make sure you're believing the right thing. Amen? You got to make sure, Lord, is this something you've put in my heart? Is this something that you're going to cause? Are you going to give me faith in my heart? And are you going to respond to that faith? And is that faith going to become the substance of what I am hoping for and the evidence of what I'm not seeing right now? Am I going to see that? Am I going to handle it? Is the pain going to leave my body? Are they going to tell me I don't have the disease anymore? See, you've got to put a demand upon God and say, God, is this what? Now listen, anything that's in the covenant, church, sickness or disease, you don't have to even, don't ask God. He wants you well. Look at the price He paid. He had the back of His Son plowed with a cat of nine tails so you could be healed. So you don't have to go say, God, if it's your will. Other thing, it's His will for you to prosper. It's His will for you to be healed. It's His will for your loved ones to be saved. That type of hope built by the Word of God. Listen, we haven't been disappointed. We've seen our loved ones get saved. We've seen God bless and touch people. It's amazing what God can do. But you've got to go through all of the things in your life and say, Lord, is this of You? Is this of You? Is this of You? And if it's not of Him, get it out. You say, why? Because you'll get to the place in which your hope is so deferred that your heart's going to be sick. You're going to back away to a place of doubt and unbelief. The fear will take you over. Look how fast that can happen now in these days. Whew, my time's running out. Where was that other one, Lord? In the Psalms? I had it in the Psalms here. I think where it was. I pulled my marker out. Shouldn't have done that. Let me cruise here a minute. I might find it. Let me think of where that was. Man, that was a good scripture. Oh, here it is right here. Thank you, Lord. Boy, He's so cool. Psalms. Look at this. Psalms 42. Yeah, I'll do that. I got a couple of minutes. I like this psalm. This is a cool psalm. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come up and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Now notice this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermites and of the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep. Now listen to that. Deep calleth unto deep. There are spiritual things deeper than religion. Let me say that again. There are spiritual things. If Thank God we had men in the last generation, men and women, that dared to blaze a new trail outside of the boundaries of religion. Amen? And find out that religion is not of God. Amen? And that there is a true hope in God that religion cannot taint. That's what he's talking about right here. Now notice, deep calleth unto deep. Now this is something you've got to understand. You can't just go around thinking, well, I got to get this need met. I got to get this need met. I got to get it. And I got to have this. I got that. You can't do that. You've got to find a place in you where you seek God for who he is. Lord, I need to know you. I need you. Not for my wants. I need you. I need you. Like any human being, any child, any baby would need its mother or father to handle them in a loving way, to pull them close, to coddle them, to hold them, to love them like we've all done our children. What makes you think your God is any different? But if all you go around doing is, wah, 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 I want my bottle, you may not get as many hugs as you would like. It's a kind way to say these things. Amen. Make it easy. Put a little, what's that stuff we ate the other day? That's like a drug. Cookie butter, was that it? Oh my Lord. We must be getting close to the rapture. Amen. Now notice what it says. My time's up. Glory to God. Deep calleth unto deep. Let God speak to your heart above your need. Let him speak to your soul. Listen. Let the Holy Ghost comfort you when you need comforting. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? You say, Holy Spirit of God, you live in me. You're on me. I need your comfort. Then you believe, you receive it, you will have it. Let the deep, the word, when it's taught, if it's not taught on the level of your need, it may be being taught on the level of your character so that you can get your need met as your character grows in God. Because it may be that a need you're trying to get met would ruin you because you did not have the character to receive it at this point. Amen. See, but people don't, I want it now. Give it to me now. My flesh, my back. No, you can't. Let the deep call to the deep. I used to be very anxious. I didn't want to make everything happen. That's back when I was wild and crazy. But when I came to the Lord, He made me be patient. He made me be patient. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. And then He'd say it like this. You're going to have to wait on me. Well, I need my need met. No, you need to wait on me. I need my need met. No, you're going to have to wait on me. I need my need met. No, you have to wait on me. I need my need met. Amen. See that many times. You're going, oh, God, I won't do anything. No, that's not it. He's wanting to do everything for you the right way so that what He does for you does not hurt you. And that what He does for you does not hurt others. And what He does for you gives you a hope and an expectancy that the next time God shows up, it's going to be even better. And the next time even better. And you start living a life from faith to faith, glory to glory, because you expect to. You hope to. Amen? That's why I've had no really major alterations in my lifestyle for 40 years. I pray, I read the Bible, I come to church. I love my wife, I love my children, I love my church family. I love the missionaries we support, I love the play. I mean, I've lived the same life for 40 years, and I tell you, I have more hope now than I've ever had. I have not only a hope for that which God has given us to do, I have a hope that Jesus could come any second through these clouds and take us to glory. A hope that I did not have several years ago, only an expectancy based on things that I'd heard for many years. But then God put a hope in me that I know this is it. These things that are being played out right now. Somebody said this. I'll close with this. This may help your hope. Somebody said, you know, things like this have gone on the earth before. And it's true. They have. But not all of them at the same time. Yeah. That's the problem. Is when you wrap them all up into one package and look at the end times, you got everything that goes into the package right there. From the Antichrist system to what they want to do with the money, to how they want to divide people, to what they want to do to wipe people off the earth, all of the destruction, all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of that, right there in the Word. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. This is why it's happening. Amen? But the good news, in the midst of it's happening, God shows up. And if you're God's people, while it's happening, amen, you're not waiting for Him to show up because He's already showed up in your life. He's already there. Amen? You say, you waiting for Jesus to come back? No, He's already come for me. Now, He's going to come back and get me one day, but no, He's already come for me. Amen? You've got to realize that if you live like that, you will have an eternal hope on the inside of you. That's what I used to love about Brother John Osteen. He had this hope in him that you could not, listen, you couldn't put the Gulf of Mexico on top of it and put it out. No matter what was happening, no matter how sick he was, how negative things were, he'd get up there and smile. I'm telling you, he was a master of hope in the midst of disaster. I'll tell one story, we'll close. This just shows you what hope will do. Could you imagine planning an event, cost well over $100,000, one night, 2 hours. Back then, we did not have the technology we have today. This would have been in October, late October of 1984. So in order to send a satellite broadcast from a church, you had to lease a satellite. I'm talking big old truck with these big old, you know what they look like. So Pastor Osteen in his vision had an idea for something called World Satellite Network, in which every Friday night, one Friday night of each month, he would bring in a special speaker. And then they would do a live broadcast all over the world, and see how many people they could win to Jesus. So the first one they did, I was in Bible school. I was a Bible school student sitting about the second row. And there at the old church, there was down on the floor, there was a section of seats here and a section of seats here. But there was a section of seats here, and this section of seats had a big, remember those big studio cameras like you see on the news and stuff? Had that, y'all remember that? Right in the middle right there. So where that camera was, that was focused right at the pulpit, that camera. So there was about six rows of seats. Of course, you had a space which was the altar, about six rows of seats, and then that camera was right there. So the guy who was the director for the program, he came out, he said, now, you know, he thanked the crowd, the place was packed, he thanked the crowd for being there. He said, now, this is a live broadcast. We'll do it just like if we were, you know, if this was something coming out of Nashville or Hollywood. We have to do a countdown with 5, 4, 3, 2. When I say 1, I want the entire church to stand, begin to applaud, and Pastor Osteen will come out and greet the crowd. Everybody right? Okay with that? Everybody, yeah. So, you know, that was about 5 minutes, you know, before it was to start. So when he got to the time, it's winding up, 5, 4, 3, 2, a lady had positioned herself right in front of the camera. Right in front of the camera. Now, this is our first World Satellite Network service, you know. And so, as he came down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, she stands up, blocks the camera. She takes her shirt and lifts it up, and she has on a shirt that says, John Osteen is of the devil. And she began to scream at the top of her voice, John Osteen's of the devil! John Osteen's of the devil! And so it took the ushers about 15 seconds to swim through the crowd. Y'all remember how they used to carry him out of there, kicking and screaming, I'll sue you! I'll sue you! Now here's what hope will do. What would you do? We're so sorry. We try to plan for these things. Pastor Osteen, he gets up. Glory to God! It's just like in the days of Jesus when he walked the streets of Jerusalem. The demons would cry out. It's no different here at Lakewood Church tonight. The demons are crying out, oh, we're going to have church tonight. He put hope right back in that crowd, man. I mean, hope went right back in that crowd. And when Brother Kenneth Hagin got up to preach, the glory of God was there. See, that's the kind of hope God wants you to have. That when something looks like a total disaster, God just puts whatever it needs to be put in you to put hope back in everything that's going on. Amen. Aren't you glad? How many have a hope for 24? I believe there's more in 24. That God's going to open an effectual door in 24. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, stand on your feet. Father, thank you so much for what you've said to us tonight. Stirred our hope. Increased in us a capacity to reject the human hope and live in the helpless of God. Fathers, we leave tonight. Our faith is in your word. No evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. Thank you, Father, in the perilous times of the last day, we have an eternal hope of rescue, an eternal hope of protection, and an eternal hope of your hand upon our life. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are stirred, that evangelism rises up out of our spirit, that everywhere we go, we're constantly aware of the lost, the hurting, those that are confused, in doubt, and in pain. Thank you, Lord, that we can be an answer to their prayer, problem to the devil, a miracle in their life. Thank you, Father, for all that are traveling tonight with their loved ones and friends. We thank you for traveling mercy and safety, whether on the highways, the airways, the seaways. And Lord, we just declare over the hope they're telegraphing of all of this calamity and travel. We thank you, Father, that you'll give mercy and grace to the traveling public, that they would be able to commute around our nation without these horrible delays. Thank you for the expectancy of what you desire to do in our lives, our churches, our ministries, and in our families and businesses. As we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you, Father. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, powered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah.